Hey, what's going on, Clipper? Oh man, I'm out of things. Clipper humans?
Clipper Humans works great, I think.
Anyways, it's me, William, the opinion Updike.
And I am trying not to be too positive, Chuck Blockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell
We're
yeah.
bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
What
We
what?
love to do it.
Love it.
So for everyone listening, today is a big day for the Clippers.
Yes, it is.
The chance to, I mean, the chance to make it further than this franchise ever has in the playoffs. The weight solely resting on the shoulders of this team.
Yeah.
Man, I
That's a
feel
big
like
one.
I'm bearing some of the weight too right now, but
I think all of Clipper Nation feels that way for sure.
yeah, but we hope everyone's excited.
Oh, yeah.
We got to
Gotta
look
be.
ahead to the game. We did execute very well the last game, so we're going to get into this game five preview, what we need to do well again if we want to come out with that dub, as well as some things that could go wrong. This Denver team is still a very dangerous offense. And then we'll dig into a couple of key matchups and end with our predictions. And then there was some press availability today, so we'll be talking about that. And then, in shavings, there's some great final,
Man.
like finite evidence that
Yes.
salmon polos actually improve the team.
Shout out to Caleb Daniels, who did a very deep dive. I appreciate this so much. This is great. Also, just a disclaimer, the game tips off at 3 p.m. So make sure you have all your drinks, make sure you have everything by 3 p.m. Take a little work off if you're on the West Coast, but just a reminder, it tips off at 3 p.m.
Yes, the Clippers are not the late game. They got bumped for the game seven.
Who
So yeah, the game
cares?
is going to be a little bit earlier. And then in shavings, like I said, we got the finite polo proof as well as a little Love Mary quarantine for you. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So the Clippers take on the Nuggets, like we said, for a chance at team history. The job is definitely not done yet. That's something that I think, you can be excited, but hey, this is a Nuggets team that just came back from another deficit similar to this one. And what we need to do well is, like, it's like Doc says in like every presser and probably every day in his life, is you've just got to come out and play. You play well and you play hard. Good things happen, was his quote today from the presser. And like, that's exactly what it has to be, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We just got to set the tone again, like we did in the last game, and hope that shots fall. Because if the defense isn't up to the level that it was last night, and we're still having the same shooting struggles, we could be in for a rough night.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we can't let them get any momentum in the opening quarter. I think so much of how this game's going to go rests on if they get, and I mean, like, at any point in the opening quarter, especially not the end. Like, we don't want to give them momentum going into any breaks in this game. And yeah, like, if we're getting open shots and they're not falling, I will be upset that they're not falling. But if the defense is still playing at a great level, like, we're not going to hold them to 12 points again, I don't think, in that first quarter or in any of the quarters. But if we're still seeing good rotations and physical play without fouls and we keep it tight, I feel pretty good about this one. But we got to set the tone early.
Definitely. And I mean, we talked about this a little bit in yesterday's recap, but basically we need to control the things that we can control. If we're getting good looks and the shots aren't going in, hey, that's something we kind of have limited control over if we're, getting the best possible looks. But what we can control is how much they score to a certain extent. We can at least slow them down.
Definitely.
So that being said, offensively, I would like to get Paul George involved a little bit more in the offense than we saw in game four.
Love it.
Whether that comes with the ball in his hand or off ball, I think it might be good to get him going off ball just so he has a chance to get some open looks. His dribble has also looked a little shaky to me.
Yeah, he's averaging like four turnovers or something like that per game, which is kind of a little too high.
Yeah, which I don't love. But the biggest thing with this for Paul George is he's got to have more field goal attempts than he did in that game four. And, so much of his game is derived from rhythm and like a flow. So, we got to attempt to get him there. you know, for the rest of this series, however long that may be, as well as the next. It's going to be super crucial. And then on the other end, you know, if he can continue his like his great defense on Murray, that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, can't let two of them go off, like we said.
Yeah. And just getting the ball moving a little bit more early in general,
I
think would be really big for the team.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's great that we have the Kawhi ISO to lean on. Like, it's unstoppable. It's definitely great. But it'd be nice to maybe reserve that just to kind of close out quarters or close out the fourth. Because we're currently running it quite a bit, which, you know, makes sense. Very effective. Kawhi is a killer. But we're second to, like, only the Rockets in ISO possessions again.
Wow.
And it's still – it isn't, like, a staggering – it isn't, like – I don't think it's an excessive amount of our possessions. It's around 12%, which isn't terrible.
Yeah. It's not 20, which is what I think the Rockets are at.
Definitely. But I just like to start getting some of these other guys in rhythm, especially our Jermichaels, our Shamits. Just getting that ball moving, getting those guys easy looks, Morris as well. Because we're going to need – I'm just worried if we make it to the Western Conference Final, we're going to need – in a 7-game series, some more contributions from some of these guys who, you know, have kind of had some invisible games in this series.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Especially with, at some point, you know, Marcus will be leaving. So it would be, we think, so it would be great for Jermichael to get into this rhythm, especially in a potential closeout game. In terms of what could go wrong, I mean, you know, Jokic and Murray both going off would be a disaster for the Clippers. But that, I think, comes from the Nuggets need a surge of energy. Like,
oh yeah,
they came back from 1-3-1 deficit, which is amazing, but they looked like the fatigue was starting to set in a little bit in that last game.
Oh yeah, I agree. They looked a little bit out of sorts.
And for all the like jokes about Jokic not being in shape, whatever, there was a sequence where he tried to like shoulder charge Trez, and Trez is just too strong of a human being. So Jokic fell over, and then Bev got the ball, and then he just like pawed at Bev and got the foul.
Oh yeah.
That's like the ultimate, like, I'm fucking tired energy.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a classic tired play.
Like, just like, please, this sucks. But if we let them believe for a second that they can win this game, it gets dicey. Like, Jamal Murray, endless energy. I don't care. Like, the dude, I'm always worried about that guy. We joke that, like, a Clippers 10-point lead is really 5 points. But in this game, we got to treat it like that. Because the Nuggets, if they get this jolt, it could be, you know, there's that intangible thing that the Nuggets have tapped into already once. So, it might happen.
Yeah, I mean, it totally could. There's a desperation that teams facing elimination are going to play with. And if you're not willing to meet that intensity, I mean, they're not going to let you waltz out there and send them home.
Yeah, they're not the Rockets. Excuse me. And then, like, you know, we all know the things that can go wrong for this team. Like, you mentioned it when you were talking about the offense, standing around, ball watching, not moving the ball. And if the rotations are off, like, in the beginning, I hope we see Doc used his timeouts really well in that last game. Like, there was one run where the Clippers were going on where he called a timeout, which was kind of like, come on, man.
Yeah, and then there was that timeout. There was a weird timeout at the end.
Oh, that was just frustrating. But, like, if things are going wrong and we don't get a timeout call, like, a lot of this game, I think, rests on Doc, and I don't mean that in, like, a weird way. I hope he coaches exactly the way he did in that last game. Because I don't think he's going to deviate from the plan, but if anything gets too wonky, like, if we get an early foul trouble and the rotations get off, honestly, not all bets are off, but it's pretty close to what happens with this Clippers team when the rotations get super goofy.
Yeah, 100%. And, I mean, that's obviously – Zoo is going to set the tone for the whistle really, really early.
Yes, he is.
He needs to be extremely disciplined, because if he's leading the charge with those fouls, it's not just going to affect him. They're going to be looking specifically for fouls on Jokic, and it's going to be a long night for anyone who gets matched up against him.
And it's kind of – I mean, it's not a miracle, but it's pretty damn crazy that after the Nuggets were in the bonus for 10 minutes of the third quarter, they couldn't take advantage. Like, that is also another fatigue sign, I think.
Yeah, they don't – I mean, it feels so weird, right, because I do feel like they get a lot of fouls, but they don't get to the line nearly as much as we do, which, you know, is a lucky thing for us. It makes them have to work a lot harder for some of those points.
Definitely.
So What do we got for some key matchups in this one?
So, I mean, we know, you know, we want PG to guard Murray. We want Kawhi to keep kind of doing this free safety thing. And I think he's still leading the bubble in deflections and stuff right now. But there is kind of an MPJ issue, right? Like, the dude.
Yes.
We got a voicemail about it. We're going to play right now. And this guy has a, you know, has some good questions and some good points. Let's see what this young man has to say.
Michael Porter Jr. just recently called out the Nuggets for their play calling for him not getting the ball. My question is that is he getting out of line or is he right? And also, if he does get more, like, playing time with the ball and gets the ball more, does that affect us in any way? Because Michael Porter Jr. has cooked us before, but if he gets the ball more, does that hurt us? Is that the Nuggets' problem for not beating us? Thank you guys. I hope you guys have a great, great day.
So, like, that's a good question. Like, MPJ, first of all, as a rookie, you can't be saying that shit in press conferences, dude. Like, that is so ballsy on MPJ's part.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing, right? Is you haven't been there long enough. You haven't played enough games. And while I do agree that, you know, he has definitely been cooking against the Clippers, you know, no one's really slowed him down. I just wonder how much gravity we're giving to other players on the floor versus MPJ, which is one of those things. And then he's just so poor defensively.
So bad.
That it just becomes a numbers game, right? Like, even if he is able to keep up this efficient offense, and nobody has really guarded him that well thus far. Once again, I don't know if that's an effort thing. I don't fully know. But even if he is able to score like that, I mean, it's almost a guarantee he's given up points on the other end.
Yeah, he's just not putting a bunch of effort in. Justin Russo at Fly By Night had a very long thread of non-effort plays from MPJ.
And it happens. You know, he's a rookie. That's what you do.
But the Nuggets, like, they're going to need an X factor in this game, right? Like, they're going to need someone else to put up maybe 20 points. If Jamal Murray and Jokic are both feeling it even, I think.
Definitely. I mean, I think even if – unless, you know, Murray has like a crazy 50-pointer, even if Jokic and Murray are kind of getting into a rhythm, as long as it's like the same thing with what we did with Jokic last game, keeping him from getting all the teammates going is the key.
Keep those assists down for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, like, we don't want to be in a situation where Jeremy Grant is hitting from three a bunch anything like that. So, yeah, just that continued intensity, I think, is, like, the overarching thing for this game.
Yeah, and then Trez versus efficiency. We talked about this a little in the recap for the last game, but, like, I mean, Trez, if he's going to get short bursts in this game and he can be efficient and we have a lead, which I really only hope Trez sees the floor if we have a lead, the lead could get extended quite a bit if he's being efficient, but he's going to have to be efficient. And it depends on how much time Jokic is going to get. Like, the dude looks tired. How many minutes is he going to – I mean, they're going to have him out there as much as they can, but that's going to be an interesting thing for them to deal with too.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch because I'm wondering if Trez is going to be most effective if we use him when Jokic is off the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think he will because defensively, except for that one stand where Jokic fell over, Jokic kind of has his number.
Yeah, more or less, Jokic was getting pretty much whatever he wanted against Trez. So we'll see how that goes. I think if we go to Trez early, Malone will obviously keep Jokic out there. Mm-hmm. If we wait until he's in the bench, I think that's going to be the most effective. I don't know. I would like to see Trez also maintain that same efficiency because I'm only seeing these rotations shrinking.
Yes, hopefully. I'm jacked up for this game. What's your prediction for this game? Game 5, 3 p.m.
I don't want to jinx it. I'm gonna say I predict a win. I don't want to put in a score. I'm thinking that we close it out. I'm hoping that we close it out. We put it all together. I think that, you know, yesterday was a great exhibit of the type of, like, locked in team defense we need to play. And if we can get some more shots falling, I'd love to have a higher scoring game than 96.
Yeah, more than 100 would be my desire as well. I think the Clippers do get the dub. I have tepid expectations. We've seen what this Nuggets team can do with their backs against the wall. But a lot of the stress on how the Clippers come out. Whew, man, I am jacked up. Again, just a reminder, 3 p.m. tip-off.
It's 3:30, but.
Hey, it's all the same. And then also, if the Clippers win, we will be doing a live stream after the game. So hit us up at Locked On Clips. That will be a fun time. Coming up, we're going to be talking some presser vibes, just some doc talk. But first, we have to give a shout-out to DoorDash. They help us keep the lights on. They help us eat food, which are two very nice things. DoorDash is the app that brings you your food that you're craving right now, right to your door. They have fantastic contact delivery. You just ask them to drop it off in front of your house or apartment, and they will. No problem. It's very safe. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or used-to-be local go-tos like the Cheesecake Factory, Wendy's, McDonald's, Wingstop, whatever you want. Many of your local restaurants are on DoorDash and still open, so please support them if possible. Got to keep the local spots going for sure. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to help keep communities safe. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download DoorDash app and the App Store and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. One more time for good measure, LOCKEDONNBA, that's the code, all capital letters, one word, $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Okay, so we're back with some presser vibes. Doc had some availability today. He had some good stuff to say. I like that he...
It was just Doc, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Usually it's been players.
The guys need a rest.
That's true.
Interestingly, I liked the note that this started on. Someone asked about Kawhi in his like robotic type performance.
Yeah.
And Doc said he didn't think that the word robotic was a good word. He prefers surgical, which I think that's actually perfect. That's definitely the way he works. It's like surgical, clinical. There's definitely like an approach to it, a probing out and like a precise execution.
He has a plan, right? He's like, I'm going to get my shots right here. And they're going to go in because I'm Kawhi and you can't really do anything about it. And it's awesome. It works so well. Doc said he was like, I think you can tell he's way over his number, but in his mind, he's not to the comfort level that he needs to be in. So that's the other thing too, is like, if Doc is saying that maybe Kawhi isn't 100%, at his, ready for surgery right yet, what the hell is it going to look like when he's 100% comfortable? Because right now it's looking very good on the offensive end. Like,
yeah,
we could see kind of another piece of Kawhi, or another, maybe not piece, another wrinkle unlocked when the team starts really hitting their stride offensively.
I mean, this is what Kawhi does, right?
Yeah, he makes everyone else better.
Yeah, this is what we waited for, man. He's going to just – I think he's just going to continue to ramp up. I'm excited to see.
And if the Clippers start making shots at a more efficient rate, it's not crazy to me to think that Kawhi could average 6 assists in the next in this game, and then maybe in the next round. Like a lot of the.
Oh, I think he definitely will. I think he definitely will.
It's going to be fantastic,
especially that next series. I mean, I think they're going to double him a lot more. But anyways,
that's
for another time.
That's
for another time.
Doc also mentioned, so when the 9 p.m. games, Doc said that the coaches, and he kind of said this for all coaches, get to sleep between 4 or 5 in the morning. That's pretty brutal. Like,
yeah,
you're jacked up from the game. There's been those reports of when Ty Lue was in Cleveland, how he would like never sleep.
It makes sense though. Like that makes sense to me because, I mean, the game's getting over at what, like midnight your time, 12:30.
Yeah,
on the East Coast, and then you have your media. You have, I mean, a locker room post.
Yeah,
and then you have media availability. And then I'm sure you have maybe, I don't know if it's one-on-ones, but you definitely have some sort of availability to the players.
Yeah.
Probably
got to eat, right, at some point.
Yeah. And then once all the players are gone, I'm sure it's just the coaching staff, and you're going to look at film from that, and you talk about that, and you're going to get updated on any, like athletic training reports, injuries, stuff like that. So this number makes sense to me. It makes sense that you're not going to bed until 4 or 5 in the morning. But you know what? It's time to party, Doc.
Doc's just like, you know, I haven't been sleeping. I haven't slept since the first day in the bubble. No, I mean, Doc seems to be handling it well. He's still been in good moods with the media, which is, you know, sometimes isn't always the case. So hope he can get some rest in these next coming days if things go well in this game 5. That's going to be huge for everybody. Someone asked him about naps too, which I was like, more nap questions for coaches. That's good. That's good content right there. Doc talked about the team growing together, and he talked about in game 4, you could just defensively, you could see how connected they were. And he said that it was also as close that they've been so far to kind of being at that peak efficiency and what the team looks like. I'm hoping it happens. I hope this game 5 just is obviously a continuation of what we saw in terms of communication and almost non-communication, right? Like guys doing things without having to tell other guys where to go or what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also said they think their ceiling is high, which I think is totally fair. And like all things that have happened during the bubble, during the regular season, they didn't have their guys, he said. Like throughout the whole season, we didn't have our guys. And this is the first time, other than when Morris has to leave, that we've had everyone. And it's almost like perfect timing, you know, like we've had everyone and now they're forced to be every other day is, you know, a playoff game. There's so much more practice concentrated into what is happening compared to their usual stuff, which is a detriment. Obviously, there's some downsides to it. But from a pure basketball perspective, it's, you know, to have everyone together for the first time, really, for an extended period of time, this is the right environment to have it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody, you know, all these teams that built up continuity and stuff throughout the season kind of had at least a soft restart at the start of the bubble. So, definitely. I mean, it has been like the great equalizer. And I do think that helps the Clippers' chances versus, you know, how many different starting lineups we had and how little availability we had for main guys. So,
and even in the seeding games, you know, we were missing guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's literally
definitely
just at the playoffs.
It's definitely the time to have it put together.
I love it. And then we've kind of talked about like maybe like some Clippers fans, and we've talked about this podcast, like the idea of like benching Bev and having Sham start and then having Bev and Lou out there together. And Doc talked about it. He talked about how they have their own combinations that we want to have offensively on the floor and some combinations that we want to have to avoid defensively. So I like that he acknowledged, like this is him acknowledging the Reggie Lou minutes, right? Without actively saying, I'm not playing Reggie and Lou together because the defense is so bad.
Yeah.
I love that he's acknowledging it.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, Doc doesn't generally talk that much about like X's and O's stuff, I feel like.
Very true.
But I've been impressed with his rotations this series. I think that he's made adjustments. He's countered in ways that I feel like we maybe necessarily didn't see as much in that first series. but it gives me some confidence. It gives me confidence moving forward.
100%. And then Doc had some fantastic things to say about mental health. He said, I see a therapist when I need to see a therapist all the time. And I always have. And I've never had a problem with it. The Clippers are so lucky to have a coach who's very, I'm not saying other coaches aren't open about mental health, but a coach that's this open about his own mental health and how players can talk to him.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's a rough grind for coaches. And players alike.
Yeah.
Everybody. So, yeah, it's good to see. You love it. He also gave Sam Cassell a head coaching shout out.
Dude, when is Cassell going to become a head coach? Like Doc said it well. He was like, Sam Cassell has paid every due that is possible and he's yet to get a job. So he's hoping that it happens. It's got to happen soon. There's so many vacancies, right? Like maybe not now because I feel like a lot of the targets have kind of been leaked for these teams. But in the next 3 years, it has to happen, right?
Yeah. I would like to – I mean, it would be great to me if Sam Cassell did arrive as a surprise candidate for one of these teams that are going to be looking for a coach. But at the same time, I hope it's the right fit, and I think that's what Sam's hoping for too.
That's a good call.
I mean, he has paid every single due. Former player, been an assistant for a long time, You know, isn't his winning percentage as a head coach 1,000%?
I think it's 100%.
He's batting 1,000.
Yeah, it's not bad. And he's well liked. Like, there's no one who doesn't like Sam Cassell. Like, if you've been around the Clippers or seen him in, like, if you've gone to a game early and seen warmups, when Sam Cassell comes out there, everyone's laughing. Like, he's playing one on one. Like, he's a player's coach and a coach's coach. It's a crazy combination.
He is one of the most, like, jovial human beings I've ever seen. It's nearly impossible to not smile when Sam Cassell is around. He's just a fun dude.
I hope he stays for another season with this kind of, like, you know, this Kawhi PG situation we have going on for the Clippers. Because, you know, if things go well in one of these two seasons, and we all know what I mean by goes well, that, I think, vaults him into that, like, okay, he's definitely going to be hired conversation.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think, yeah, obviously the better the Clippers do, the more it helps his case, and the more experience he gets in playoff situations. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And it's also, I mean, I would like it if he didn't get snagged in this offseason, because I would like him around at least while Kawhi and Paul George are on this first, you know, sort of leg of their contracts.
Yeah.
Because that's our window, man. That's our window. So
that's it.
I'd love to have Sam for that. But if a head coaching job calls, I would understand.
100%. Coming up, we're going to be talking some fantastic research from Caleb Daniels, chief statistician of apparel for Locked On Clippers. But first, Will, food. Give me some suggestions. Just one off the top of your head, out of nowhere, go.
The only thing you need to eat is Built Bar.
Oh, sick.
The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. Comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors.
Nice.
All the bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. So it's great to eat on the go, on the subway, on the bus, in your car. Wherever you may be, Built Bar is there for you. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. All the bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for the keto diet. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. One more time, that's builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off.
Love it. We're all fueled up on Built Bar. I'm just ready to run through a wall. Okay, so our chief statistician of apparel, Caleb Daniels. The salmon colored polos have taken Clipper Nation by storm, I would say, at least on Twitter. And there is a theory that we play better with the salmon colored polos, and the stats back it up. Like,
yes,
it all looks good.
Empirical evidence.
We love it. The Clippers are 3-0 in the salmon polos with a plus 47 point differential over those three games. Nothing to scoff at there. The coaches have only worn red polos to start a series, which is pretty interesting. 2-0 with those games with a plus 32 point differential. So maybe it's just a red hue thing.
Could be.
Maybe that's the vibe.
The worst performing seem to be the blue polos.
Oh, blue polos are horrible. Blue and white needs to be blue and white solid, because there are a couple variables. Blue and white solid polos, we need to get rid of those things. We're 2-5 combined when we wear those polos. That's not going to get it done.
You look good, you feel good, you play good, and those just don't look good enough for this coaching staff.
That's true. The blue and white ones are hella boring. Like, I know Brad Stevens, like, they're around me like a Brad Stevens polo. Like, Brad Stevens wears that weird gray. I'm pretty sure it's a quarter zip, which is like, dude, taking that thing off is awkward every time. You got to lift it over your head. You're like a kid. The all blue and all white's not very good. And then there was some interesting stuff. The white with gray stripe, like the big gray stripe, was only used in seeding games, but we were 3-0 and have since not worn them. So I feel like this is like the salmon colored polos made it into the playoff rotation, as did the red ones. But white with gray stripe is completely eliminated. And I mean,
yeah, weird. You know, I don't know. Maybe Ty Lue is anti-stripe.
That's a good call. Dr. Daniels also found that adding white to the polos, like a black with a white collar or blue with white collar, we ended up 2-2 with a plus 8-point differential. So that one's kind of like
500. That's not good enough.
It's like, okay. I mean, bottom line is there's no reason to not wear salmon colored polos or the red polos, but the salmon colored ones look the best, right?
Right.
They have to. Also Ty Lue picked the salmon colored polos for the last game. It was reported.
Yeah, apparently he is the resident polo advisor. So if you have a direct line to Ty Lue, make sure and tell him to load up on those salmon.
He's probably, I think he's listening. He probably likes the pot. All right, now we're going to get into Love Mary Quarantine. Will, why don't you introduce this fantastic Love Mary Quarantine topic?
Okay, so, I mean, the Magic City legend, Lou Williams, of course, has his own flavor of wings at Magic City, Lemon Pepper Lou. Mm-hmm. And today he trademarked the name, which I'm surprised it wasn't trademarked before. It seems like, and I know this isn't law, but if it has your name in it, it should already be trademarked. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it kind of got us thinking about some other trademarked names that the Clippers could have out there. What do we got here, Charles?
So these are all food related, of course. First one's kind of out of left field. Patrick Patterson trademarking the name Potato Patty. This is him kind of trying to get into, like, you know. Like maybe the Ireland market, something like that over there. They love potatoes over there. I'm Irish. I eat potatoes, I don't know, 10 times a day. Maybe some fries or something like that. I could see Patterson. He's a bit of a businessman. He's an entrepreneurial spirit. I could see him doing this.
Yeah, but Potato Patty just isn't a very popular product, though.
It would if Patrick Patterson endorsed it.
So it's like a latke?
No, it's maybe like chips, or it could really be any. See, potatoes are so versatile. This could just be a factory.
Potato Patty doesn't sound like a chip to me.
Well, I'm being Patty like P-8, like his name. Like he's like, I'm Potato Patty. Eat my chips.
I see. So he's not like a literal. So he's a leprechaun. You said leprechaun.
I didn't say leprechaun. That's insensitive to Irish people. I didn't say leprechaun. You said leprechaun. We have Kawhi Leonard with Butter Noodles Leonard, because for some reason I feel like Kawhi's favorite meal is just butter noodles.
I love this. Like, this is great.
I think his favorite meal might just be butter noodles. Nothing wrong with it. Maybe some salt to add it on this. But yeah, I mean, I would buy Kawhi's butter noodles. You get a little packet of butter, a little packet of noodles. It's like Kraft, but just no cheese is given to you. And then Doc Rivers, famously wine aficionado, Sauvignon Doc.
I like Sauvignon Doc. Yeah,
I think Sauvignon Doc would crush.
I'm gonna toss another one in the mix. Paul George's porridge. It's porridge, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's as the porridge is as smooth and silky as his game is on the court.
I don't know. Is porridge supposed to be smooth? I haven't had porridge in a while.
I mean, like, there's going to be different varieties, obviously. You got to have some sweet varieties, you know, just classic butter, cinnamon, sugar. Okay. I'm kind of more of a savory porridge person, you know, maybe some shrimp in there, cheese.
If the porridge
all sorts of stuff.
If the porridge is too smooth, at what point does it become stew?
It's never stew. The consistency is completely different.
But if it's too smooth, I'm saying maybe it gets a little, you know, so silky.
No, stew involves a stock. Whereas porridge is derived from a grain, a starch.
So what you're saying is Potato Patty and Paul George could team up on this one.
No way. I'm quarantining Potato Patty.
I think
it makes no sense to me. I don't know what a potato patty is.
I'm loving Potato Patty. Maybe it is latkes. Why not? No, I'm
if actually, it's latkes, I'm back in.
I'm going to love and marry Butter Noodles Leonard. Because that's a great nickname.
Yeah, I'm loving that one as well. That's just a great product.
Or actually, I might have to marry. I love Butter Noodles Leonard. I think I got to marry Sauvignon Doc.
Ooh, yeah. That's definitely what I'm marrying.
It'd be a good one right there. And then obviously you're quarantining potato. I don't think I'm going to quarantine any of these. I hope all of these Clippers members start their own food situation.
What about Clawful's Waffles? Kawhi also has a waffle.
I think Clawful, you got the word awful in there. So I think people are like, I'm a little turned off.
Yeah, but awful is also in the word waffle. No one's complaining about those.
That's a good call. You know what? Let's do all these ideas, Kawhi. I hope you're listening. Anything else in shavings before we
Or maybe completely... that's like his, instead of a George Foreman grill, he has like a waffle iron.
That's Dude, that's a good waffle. Idea. Yeah,
the maybe it's a glove that you can make waffles with.
It is. It's the waffle glove, dude. And it's Kawhi's hand. It's like Hulk hands, but it's waffles. This is a good-ass idea. Anything else in shavings?
No, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. So Monday's
it's
episode.
Friday, man.
We have a hopeful recap. We might put this one on a little early. We have a hopeful recap of the Clippers win over the Nuggets in Game 5. If we win, we're going to be streaming at Locked On Clips. Come hang out. Maybe we'll record like a, I don't know, 10-minute episode or something for the weekend so people don't listen to the Friday episode and think, these guys didn't even see the game yet. looking ahead at what, you know, kind of the pros and cons between playing the Lakers or the Rockets is going to be for the Clippers. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these fantastic people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Spotify. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please go ahead and subscribe. Helps us out. You can check out this show every day. We bring you new content 5 days a week. It's great. Yeah. If you like what we're doing, go ahead and leave a rating or review. We'd love it.
Heck yes. Thank y'all so much. Clipper Nation, we got a long ways to go, but we're inching closer to the final goal. As we said a couple weeks ago with Carl Tart, you know, wear a mask. Don't be racist. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Here's the next time we speak to you, Clippers heading to the Western Conference Finals.
Hell yeah.
We appreciate you.